Hello, and welcome to Take Me to Eternity, where I study what's coming into the church through a biblical lens and try to help you to learn what God says about living blessed in this fallen world. I know all too well that the battle between flesh and spirit is real and active. That's why I talk so much about what we can do to live the life that God made for us. I spend a lot of time calling out teachings and people who are dangerous, wolves who hide and disguise themselves as God's workers, dangerous snakes hidden in the grass, hidden reefs waiting to shipwreck someone. Today I want to talk about a different aspect of this, and that is the hopelessness that comes from coming out of deception. I'm sure many of you understand this part of it, and it's not something that's fun or enjoyable to go through, but it's very needed, and God uses it to sanctify us and to glorify Himself. There is a point where after you learn that someone you've been listening to for a long time is speaking falsely or teaching things that are contrary to Scripture, where you want to throw your hands up and you don't know who you can trust, who you can listen to, or what to believe. You don't even know where to start to find the truth. You feel like you're trying to set your feet on solid ground, and all you can find is shifting sand. You don't feel like you can trust yourself, because you've already fallen for deception before, and you can't trust others because the deception came from other people. There's also, at least there was for me, a point where absolute loneliness consumed me. It seemed like no one understood where I was coming from. I was told I was legalistic for holding to Scripture and wanting it undefiled. I was called a Pharisee for referring back to Scripture as much as I did. I was told that I was taking it too far. Told I didn't fit into any Christian group I was around. I was too charismatic for some and not charismatic enough for others. I was caught in an in-between of hyper-charismatic and biblical truth. I was surrounded by those who followed the people I just rejected and was dog-paddling alone in the midst of uncertainty. There were people that I thought would know better than me, and they fell for untruth. So how in the world do you move on from that? Who do you trust after that? You feel like if they didn't know better, how could you? It takes effort, a lot of effort. It takes leaning on God and digging into His Word. It takes searching for what He said in context, why He said it, and tossing out anything that doesn't line up. It takes being willing to change your idea of who God is and what He said according to what His Word says. That sounds like a lot, but Scripture says in Philippians 2:12-13, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." It's not up to someone else to put in the effort. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, and for what? Because God's at work in us, to do His will and to work for His good pleasure. What we do is supposed to please Him, not us, not anyone else. We're to live for an audience of one, and that's God Himself. Matthew 7:7-8 says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." And I know that's talking about salvation. But we're told in this that we are to ask, seek, and knock. These are all verbs. God is so gracious that when we ask for wisdom and guidance, He gives it to us. Unfortunately, we have to not shut down the things He has given us to discern when we are discerning. I have talked about this in my podcast on the conscience, as well as a couple on discernment. God gave us a warning system, and too often it goes off and we tell it to shut up and keep doing what it's warning us about. We're numbing it, desensitizing it, programming it to overlook the things we say we want to discern against. When we go to watch a show and we have an automatic response that there's something wrong, when we go to listen to something and we have that check in the spirit that says, there's something not right about this, shut it off. Don't watch it. Don't listen to it. sometimes we can sit there and we can think about it and ponder it and mull it over and look at scripture and we can go, oh, that's what the problem is. When we know that someone speaks of the word in any way that contradicts scripture or twists it, that's not biblical, why do we continue to partake in it? If we know there's any issue at all, we should care enough to walk away from it and possibly warn others of the wrongness of it. All for the pleasure of God. If we want to look like Christ, we cannot continue with almost truths. If Jesus is truth and truth matters, then why do we allow untruth to have a place in our hearts and minds? The world is corrupt enough. We don't need to be part of the corruption. I know that when I speak, I'll get things wrong. We're all forever growing in the truth of God. I have a heavy heart that I would say anything that could lead someone astray, that could speak wrongly of my Savior, but we're told to seek truth, to know truth, and to spread truth. God is so gracious in using flawed humans to further his gospel, but we ought to care that what we're spreading and what we're believing is absolute truth and not partial truth. We should make sure that what we are intaking about God and his word is true and accurate. Otherwise, we're just tainting what we know and what our brains believe. That's why we have scripture, and we don't rely on an inner voice, a feeling, or a prompting. When we look at scripture, it shapes us and forms us into looking more like Christ. Everything that we intake about God helps to shape our view of him. We don't need to hear a voice that can be misinterpreted, misheard, or misunderstood. We have something better, and that's scripture. If you truly believe that scripture is the word of God, then when you want to hear his voice, you'll go to it and you'll read it. When you crave to understand him better, you'll dig into it to grow in your understanding of him and his ways. If you want to know his will for your life, then read it in context. Meditate on it, mulling it over and over. Talk about him to those around you. Find people who will sharpen you, people who will talk scripture, and dig in with you. When we are searching the scripture, it's not about us. It's not about finding out our next daily, you know, how can we apply it to our lives. As we dig into scripture and we find God's truth and we find what he said and why he said it and how he said it and the whole context and background of what was being said, when we dig into that, he helps us to learn to apply it to our lives. We don't need other people telling us how to apply it because the Holy Spirit will help you. He will grow you and shape you through it. That's part of our sanctifying process. He sanctifies us through his word. He washes us. He changes us and grows us and builds us through reading his scripture and knowing what he's saying. It's not about microwave devotionals. It's not about what I can get from it or what does it mean to me. That doesn't matter. The point of what we're reading, it really doesn't matter what does it mean to me. It matters what did it mean to him. Why did he write it? What is he trying to convey when he says it? What do the words mean? If you need to look up the words, you can look up the words and you can say, in this context, this is what this word is talking about. Sometimes go to multiple different translations so you can better see the fullness and the context of it. This is how he teaches us. This is how he speaks to us primarily because we can't misinterpret or misunderstand when he's speaking. I mean, there's different people who have different ideas about some things, but the main ideas of what is in the Bible, the goal, the reason for it to be written is pretty plain and clear. You know, if you get certain things wrong, then you're going outside of scripture. It's not scripture's fault that you are speaking wrongly about it. So when we read it, we should read it to know what God's saying, not what we feel or what we want. We are to search it diligently and continually to know who God is and what he says, to hear his voice and the words that he inspired for our training. We read the word to see what he says and why, not as a daily application or boost. Though we get both of those through reading scripture, it's only through reading it in context and seeking to understand God better through it, not ourselves. Our hope is not in ourselves. We aren't supposed to be worldly-minded or self-focused, concerned with ourselves and our own gratification. We're to be heavenly-minded, concerned with growing in the knowledge of God and looking more like Christ. Psalms 77:11-12 says, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your deeds. In Christ, we always have hope, but we have to remember that's who we are to look to and not people. We need to look at him with a pure mind and heart. We are to keep ourselves unstained by the world. We are not to accept evil or falsities as entertainment. We are not to accept evil or falsities as entertainment. Romans 12:9 says, Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. And Jude 1:20-25 says, But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Before all time and now and forever. Amen. We are not supposed to mix with darkness. We are to be set apart. Know that darkness will masquerade as light, and we are to reject it and mark and avoid it. We do this for so many reasons. We do it to be unstained ourselves. We do it to not pull others into the defilement, and in fact help pull them out of the deception, to help others know how to be pure. Yes, we're supposed to be concerned with helping others see what is true and what is false, what is good for their soul and what is harmful. We are to put others as more important than ourselves, and that means caring about their good, physical as well as spiritual. What we do, say, and promote has an impact on the world around us, and I think we've lost that in the Christian circle. We're losing ground in the culture. Our children and our grandchildren will pay for it, and they are paying for it. If we don't do anything about it now, it's just going to keep slipping further away. If you haven't figured it out yet, this world isn't just about us. We are to praise God and to glorify Him with everything that we do. That's everything that we do. It's not easy, but if we don't struggle with it, how can we say we love God more than self? We need to remember the reason for our hope and sit in it. Our main food source should be the Bible and not humans. We should keep it free from filth also. Humans taint truth so often, even without even trying. We spout things we think are true and biblical, but instead come from TV, movies, and culture. We adopt worldly understandings and incorporate them into our belief system without a second thought. It's dangerous, and we ought to fight against it. Our view of God is important, and we should be carefully guarded, not saying you should never listen to anyone, but we should hold them up to high standards of keeping to truth if we're going to look to them for spiritual food. We should weigh whatever is said to us about Scripture next to what the Bible says. Whatever people say about God should be important, and we should hold that up to high standards. We should guard our hearts and minds with the music and movies and entertainment we partake in, especially when it speaks of Christ in the Bible. Humans can speak the truth, they can speak lies, and they can speak almost truths. As we grow and learn, we crave to understand God's word better. At least that's how it ought to be. So many want to get spoon-fed God's truth, though. They want entertainment, microwave devotionals. So many want to feel better about themselves instead of conviction, have all the answers for their lives, now, as opposed to learning them. Check that box off, having read religious material so you can say, I read my Bible. They want to have the knowledge, but they don't want to put the work in to find the truth themselves. So many don't trust themselves to find it. This isn't to condemn anyone. This is simply talking about our selfish tendencies as humans. It's easier to listen to someone else than to study it yourself. It's easier to trust someone else's brain more than your own. It takes too much time to research if what they're saying actually lines up. It sounds right, doesn't it? It seems like a never-ending hard thing to do. I'm not that smart. I don't understand all the words. They're common. These are normal human excuses. Like, this is something that I've heard time and time again. And I know inside myself that these are things that I struggle with, you know? It's wrong, though, and we ought to fight it. God can give us wisdom and help us to find what we need to grow, but it isn't an instant download or a small voice inside. I've heard it said that we'll be as close to God as we want to be. I totally think that's true. We have to do the work and put the time in to get to know Him better. We have to be diligent to keep our eyes on Him, redirect our thinking for truth, be washed by the Word and not tainted by the world. That takes effort. Constant effort. It takes being in the Word and conforming to it. It's a forever washing. You'll never know all the things. You will never exhaust the Word of God. But our goal, what we should be doing, is to continuously just be being washed by the Word and being in the Word and seeking Him and seeking what is true and what is good and what is right. If we are to glorify Him and praise Him all the time, this is part of us glorifying Him and praising Him, is to be in His Word, to know Him better, to understand Him better, and know that when we are reading it, we are hearing His voice. Philippians 4:4-9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you." The Holy Spirit guides us as we read Scripture. God wants us to understand Him. That's why He gave us Scripture. We learn God's truth when we seek it diligently and keep seeking it. Ask Him, knowing He hears us and He provides for us. When we pray for wisdom, God gives it to us. It does take action on our part, though, and so many times we don't get it when we want it. We have to get it when God's ready for us to have it. It's all in His perfect time, not ours. I got fed by people like Beth Moore, Priscilla Shire, Joyce Myers, Rick Warren, Todd White, and Heidi Baker. All people who speak to you, speak of you, of your ability, what you need to do. To tell you the truth, if it wasn't for the last two, it might have taken me longer to come out of the deception. Not to say that everything that all of them say is wrong, but it's sprinkled with twists and deviations. It's woven with a man-centered theology that's not biblical in one way or another. One day, I'll address each one, but for now, we'll leave it at that. The focus is on the wrong thing. They focus on self or Satan more than they focus on God. I knew enough truth to question some of the things that were said, but I didn't understand the difference in definitions. I was being told these were the people to trust, the ones that could help to feed my soul, that I craved so badly to be fed. I was told over and over what the person actually meant when they said something, which made things harder for me to discern the truth. We need to look at what people say and not inject what we think that they're saying. The more the people around us teach us to excuse lies, the easier it is to swallow the lie and accept it as truth. I didn't know that one person's definition of Christianese was different from another's. Fortunately, now I do. I didn't understand how one person can use a word and it means something so different from what the Bible meant, or even what other people listening thinks it does. I was being taught not to question people because others got helped by them, or it was kind of right, or it was entertaining, so it was okay. But being helped by good advice doesn't change the other things that person says. Accepting something as entertainment can still twist our theology no matter how much we think it won't. They said the name of Jesus and said it with passion, so I shouldn't question them. God could be using them. We shouldn't question that music group or TV show, because who are we to judge? These are all things that people have said to me, and this reeks of the culture around us, doesn't it? God can use anyone. That shows how amazing he is, not the person he's using. He can use fallen God haters to show us truth, but that doesn't mean we should listen to them and be fed by them. People can be sincere, and they can be sincerely wrong. I know I was. I was very sincere, and I was very sincerely wrong. I was also biblically illiterate in certain areas because I listened to people and I took on their definitions instead of biblical definitions. I took on their understandings and their doctrine and interweaved biblical doctrine with things that I was being told. Man-made doctrines. Even, you know, demon-made doctrines in some cases. It amazes me every day that he can use even me. Because I know I'm flawed. I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't know all the things. People see Bible verses being used and think it just had to line up. Unfortunately, when it's taken out of context, you know, I have watched pastors and teachers take a half of a verse and do a whole sermon on a half of a verse completely ripped out of context. When it's twisted, or only a part is used, it can be made to say a host of things it didn't actually say. If Satan quoted scripture when dealing with Jesus in the Bible, why wouldn't he pose as an angel of light now and use God's word with a twist? Think about that for a minute. Satan poses as one of God's messengers. His minions are going to also. And all you have to do is sprinkle your false doctrine and others pick up on it and they repeat it. I'm not saying every person who speaks falsely is being possessed or, you know, twisted by Satan. I'm just saying his lies spread, and when we accept them and we repeat them, we're spreading his lies. This is why it's so important for us to dig in and search scripture ourselves. Hold everything to the light to see if it holds true. With Heidi Baker, I couldn't look past how off she is. How there is a certain darkness to her. She's a pretender to the core, and it's hard to not notice. It's hard to look past. Joyce Myers, Beth Moore, and Priscilla Shire were harder to spot what was wrong. It wasn't until I realized how self-centered it was and started seeing the small deviations did I start to see the real problem. I started to see that the focus was really on what we can do or what we should do. The power we have and not on Christ and what he did, that should be our focus. Its focus is always on us, experiencing God, puffing us up. It's about our prosperity, our betterment. It's about our words having power and the importance of us speaking rightly. With Todd White, I embraced him and his so-called love for Jesus. He seemed so sincere, though he is sincerely wrong. He has such passion and fire, and I really liked that. I also wanted experience. I wanted power. Who doesn't want to help others? To talk to God and have God talk back. To heal people and have encounters. To be sinless. I wanted to hear God speak to me personally. I wanted to speak angelic languages. I wanted to heal people with a word and have encounters with the living God, ones that were more tangible, ones that I could have stories of so that I can know and grow in my faith. I wanted to speak prophetic words over people and to be that person who glows in the dark with the light of Jesus. I wanted Jesus to speak to me face to face and feel him tangibly. You know, God works through things, and thankfully, he only allows some things for a time. He grows us through the groping for him, through hard times and obedience through it, and he helps us to latch onto him for fear of sinking when there's nothing else to grab onto. When you feel like you're drowning, he's our buoy. When you feel tossed by every passing wave, he anchors us. When I learned what Todd White was speaking and that it was contrary to what Scripture said, it just blew a hole in my world. I felt like everything I trusted was falling apart because it was like an avalanche, seeing all the different people saying the same thing. The threads of prosperity through them, word of faith amongst their other things, the power of our words. I started digging into Scripture with open eyes and testing every spirit along the way. I didn't know that that moment would change the trajectory of my whole walk. I started to see connections between what was said by Todd White and what others said, which put up a red flag everywhere I looked. Some I'd look into and see biblical things taught, and others I would see they were a deception and throw them into the dung heap. This is hugely valuable. When we see there's a deception, it helps us to see it in other places. I talked to everyone about the things I was learning and quickly learned that people are willing to put up with deception if it's from someone they like, if there's some truth in it, if they think it's entertaining. They're willing to know that something's wrong and still protect it, know that untruth is being taught and excuse it away because experience and feelings were more important. People stick up for their people. They excuse them and they don't want to do the work to see if what's being said is true or not. I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but this is what I have found. This is what I've watched happen over and over and over again. Sometimes they're just not willing to stop listening and promoting them because they feel an attachment. They aren't willing to part with someone they spent so much time listening to. They don't want to question people they like. They don't want to know because then they'll have to change it. It's basically human nature to be selfish and lazy. I want things to be all about me, and I want to defend what makes me feel good. It makes me wonder how much they look to that person over God, to self over God, and not even know it, not even realize it. If we know that someone's speaking wrongly about God, we should care more about offending God than that person. It's normal, but it isn't right. By this time, I couldn't keep my mouth shut, learning deceptions that I believed once, and I couldn't stop searching and comparing. I still haven't. I don't think we're supposed to. It says, test every spirit for a reason. I questioned everything, and I mean everything. Music, movies, people, preachers, pastors, teachers, everything. A Bethel song came on talking about Jesus going to hell, and that put a screeching halt to listening to them. I learned everything I could on the topic, and quickly too, and also learned a lot about Bethel. While talking to a Bethelite, someone who studied under them, went to their school and followed their teachers and teachings, I found that Scripture was questioned and experience was put in its place in this group. I learned that they taught a different Jesus and a different gospel, and that they brought in occult practices. These things are easy to find, but again, it does take effort, and I'm not saying that every person that has been in, listened to, or follows these groups are unsaved or any of that. I'm just saying it's very dangerous. What they're teaching is not biblical most of the time. Every once in a while, they throw in some biblical teaching. They know it, they just don't teach it that way. You also have to be willing to accept the truth when you see it. Not everyone is willing to do that. It's easier to excuse. It's spiritual abuse. When you see the abuse, it's easier to spot other places. Anyone who has been abused knows that you can spot the signs of an abuser after you've gone through it yourself. They also know the compulsion you get to warn others when you see them heading for doom. It spiraled me into looking deeper into Bethel with an eye to see truth, and finding that they are deeply heretical, seriously dangerous, and just a link in a movement that ran streams into every church they could worm their way into. They use music to get in, and they're highly successful in that. They know the truth well enough to speak it out of one side of their mouth while teaching to the contrary and casting doubt on biblical accuracy and authority. When you see the connections, you cannot unsee them. This is the reason that I keep talking about this, is because I know so many people who are going through the same thing. They're feeling the same emotions, and when you have seen that there's deception, there's a point where it just feels utterly hopeless, and it's not. It's just not hopeless. There is a better. You just have to fight to get there. You have to want to know truth, and you have to find it. And, I mean, if you're searching for truth, God will help you find it. The spiral that happened was not expected. It was like the ground had dropped out from under me, and I was free-falling. It was like I was dropped into a raging sea with no ability to do anything but tread water. Where do I go with this? Am I saved? There's a point of who do I listen to? And how do I talk to people about the Lord anymore? Because the people that I know and love and have been fed by, they don't agree with me and they don't understand. I thought I had been clinging to the Lord, but in fact I was clinging to humans in the name of the Lord. I was desperately clinging to my own power, my own ability, and not God's already finished work. But you know what? His already finished work is part of what helped me come out of this. Did God really talk to each believer was a question I had. Were the healings real? What about tongues? These were all questions that I had to dig into and find answers for. I desperately wanted to be clinging on to God, but everywhere that I searched, I was pretty much shown that I needed to do something, and I needed to change something, and I wasn't doing something right. I didn't have enough faith, or I wasn't praying enough, or I wasn't speaking rightly, you know, speaking things into existence, and it was just one thing after another. My health was my fault. You know, the fact that I'm not healthy, that was my own fault. The fact that I'm not prosperous in certain areas, that was my own fault. It was my lack of faith, my lack of all of the things I was supposed to be doing. I learned that Sarah Young channeled the book Jesus Calling, and I tossed that. I stopped listening to pretty much all of the music I had been blasting through my house on a daily basis. My kids went through this with me and got books tossed. Music they love was gone, and we had a long conversation about why. All the while, people thought I was going overboard. I spent a lot of time praying and relying on an audience of one, and a lot of time just talking to people and going over and over and over about why. Why did I believe this? We talked a lot about what honored God and what was dishonoring, even though it looked good. They watched people get mad and argue with me, and we talked about ignorance and how some people just didn't know, and that we need to have patience with them. That just because the world doesn't agree doesn't make it right. We have to do what honors God and speak truth no matter if people like it or not. They learned that we don't do things that glorify evil, and we don't take part in deceptive teaching. That our view of God matters, and we can't compromise to smooth talkers who say things that make us feel good but distort the word of God. We talked about the authority of the Bible and that we should not go beyond scripture for a reason, that we shouldn't rely on our own understanding or our own hearts or our own feelings or, you know, that voice that we think we're hearing inside ourselves. That's not God. My world shrunk. It was like all the things that I trusted were now untrustable, and the people around me didn't see it. They clung to this music, these teachers, and they'd get angry when I spoke about the dangers. I had to learn the whys really well. I lost a ton of friends. And again, I'm just telling you this because there's hope. There's other people out there who are struggling and feeling this weight that happens when you come out of it. Why should we not listen to Bethel, Jesus culture? Why should we not listen to Bethel, Jesus culture, Hillsong, and Elevation Worship? Why should we not watch The Shack? Why is it wrong to portray God in a way that he didn't himself? Why are Todd White and Heidi Baker and Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin, Joyce Myers and Beth Moore and Priscilla Shire wrong and dangerous? I say all of this to encourage you. You're not alone in the chaos that follows coming to real truth. There are a lot of us out there who understand. There, you know, when we see that there's a problem, we don't always know what it is. And sometimes we can get, our conscience helps us, or the conviction of the Holy Spirit helps us to see that there's a problem with something, and we can't pinpoint it. We can't say this is the problem and why. And we have to do our research. We have to find why. Why is it wrong when we say God is a woman? Why is that wrong? You know, we have to look into what God said about himself. Does it matter that he called himself a he? Does that matter? Did his pronouns matter? Do we know that God is not male or female? Yeah, we know that. But if he comes in and says, he, God is a he, you know, he calls himself a he. The Holy Spirit, he, Jesus, he. If we go in and we change things, every time we change something, we're tweaking and twisting what God told us. And it's dangerous because then we're making up our own understanding and our own doctrine, and we're saying it's okay, and it's not. Every deviation is wrong. We need to try and make sure that what we're saying lines up with the Word. What we believe, what our worldview is, should line up with the Word. People want solid heresy. They want black and white, and sometimes all you could do is show them what's almost true and say, but it's not true. You know, people want you to say, in this video, at this time, this person said that Jesus isn't God. And you can't always do that, but you can say what they're saying doesn't line up. It's just not true. It could have some truth in it, but that doesn't make it true. People need to know there's a little dung in their spiritual food. If they continue to eat it, at least I know I warned them. Sometimes their schemes are clever. They're so close to the truth, it's easy to miss. But a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And if we have a little bit of untruth in something, it permeates through our beliefs and our understandings. And then we speak that to other people, and we leaven other people in their spiritual walk through our dung. I learned that I needed to be able to explain why I said people or teachings were dangerous biblically. I needed to be solid in what the Bible said versus what they said, so I could defend my choices, defend the truth. I needed quotes and proof. The people I trusted the most turned into my biggest skeptics. They questioned me and mocked me to my face, made fun of me because I literally just cleared out all of my music and teachers and refused to have anything to do with these false teachings. They acted like I was dumb, and I didn't know what I was talking about. They couldn't understand why I could listen to someone one moment and toss them out the next. The people I trusted with spiritual matters now raised an eyebrow and told me I was being too harsh, too judgmental and legalistic, that I'd be happier at a different church and was being a stumbling block. I got called a Pharisee and told I had a religious spirit. God used this in my life hugely. It was painful. It was hard. It was lonely. It hurt, but he used it. I prayed that he would help me to see people the way that he wanted me to see them, that I would see the why of what they said and not just get offended. He helped to grow me significantly through all of it and helped me to learn to forgive offenses quicker. to love even when people aren't kind, and to be bold and stand up for his truth, even if it was just me standing up. He showed me why I'm supposed to speak up and defend his word. They simply didn't understand. God taught me grace in a new way and gave me patience to explain over and over again. He put a burning in me that wouldn't allow me to shut up. Believe me, I want to, and I want to often. It'd be so much easier. People say I don't have that kind of time to research and study like you do, but I did it because God compelled me to. I did it because I needed to know truth. I needed to be able to trust somebody, to find footing and feel like I was on firm ground again. I did it because God's truth mattered to me so much I wasn't willing to settle for less. That time when you watch TV, that became time for me to research. When I was making dinner, I could listen to scripture with one headphone in. I found pastors who stuck to the word, ones who valued what God said, and I found my boundaries through gritted teeth and obstacles. I absorbed scripture and teachings on it as much as I could. There's a point where you free fall, or at least that's how it feels, where you don't know where to turn or what to believe. That's when you cling to God the most, the strongest. You hold on for dear life because your world around you is crumbling. It's beautiful, though it's painful. This is when you stop looking to man to help, and you sink into prayer and diligent studying of the word. You block out other people's opinions, and you seek God's truth above all. Go back to what you did in the beginning. Generally, as believers, you know that you find God through his word. You start by seeking him there, and then you can feel like you can advance, quote unquote, and find more. There is no finding more outside of scripture. It holds everything that we need to know God and live a life according to his will. God will make your path straight, but you have to seek to understand if you want to know. There's never a time when you learn it all. When you exhaust scripture, he doesn't give you a download or a miraculous wisdom that comes from nowhere so you can stop putting in effort. He gives you a heart to want to know and the ability to find the answers if you so wish. Look at Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man before Christ, and you know, God gave him amazing wisdom, and in the end, he turned and was idolatrous. That should say something. You know, we can't stop putting effort in to keep our eyes on the Lord and follow him. How much do you want your footing back? How well do you want to know God? The more time you put into pondering his word and studying it, the closer to him you'll be. The more you pray and worship and seek to know him, the stronger your faith. I think this was a test for me. It was a learning period for sure, in how to value God and his word above anyone, how to see that his scripture should be untainted. He taught me to pursue him, to trust him, and to know that he's faithful when no one else is. Not saying there's no one who loves me or cares, but he is the one you can depend on no matter what. He's the one who will help you find the truth you seek. He will give you the wisdom and discernment to know the truth. And he does all of that through his word and through the Holy Spirit inside of us. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and that all we have to do is ask for wisdom and he will give it to us. When it speaks of how, we are told we are to ask knowing he will answer. Sometimes it takes longer than we want it to. Sometimes we cry out to him for a long time before we see the work that he's doing, but he's always faithful to answer. Always faithful to put another brick on our foundation in just the right place. If you are at a place where you feel like you are free-falling, like you don't know who to trust or what's right, be excited. Through it, God can build a foundation under you stronger than what you thought you had before. He's working. Just trust him and cling to him. Decide to seek his truth instead of wasting time. Dig your heels in and search. We can't just sit stagnant and expect him to hand us all understanding. We have to look for it. Throughout my walk, God has taught me to hold everything and everyone with an open hand. None of it is mine, and he's in complete control. He knows better, loves better, and provides better than I ever could dream of. He is also the one who is faithful in every storm. We aren't to hold on to people with a tight grip because they're human and they can fall. We shouldn't get pulled down with them. We need to care about truth and stand in it to keep our footing in this ever-changing and evil world. We need to not compromise because in compromising we are giving Satan a foothold. We are giving up ground and we are adding a little sand to our foundation. I need to be rooted in Christ and not in humans. When a teacher I listen to falls, teaching wrongly about God, I can pray for them, but I need to reject their sinful teaching, reject the almost truths, and reject them having any kind of a teaching role after that. God wants his word pure and undefiled. If we know there's an issue, it's up to us to deal with it, to not allow it, accept it, or excuse it. My best advice is to cling to the Lord, to dig into the word and study it. Stop listening to bite-sized pieces given by people you don't know or know have some issues. Figure out what your boundaries are and stick to them, no matter what the people around you say or believe. Be willing to change what you believe if the word says differently. If all you had was God, would it be enough? If you only had him and his word, would that suffice? We have the privilege of having a plethora of good translations of scripture at our beck and call, at the touch of a button, or sitting on a shelf. Yet most decide they want someone else to tell them what it means and what it says. It's easier. It's more entertaining. We can trust someone else more than we can trust ourselves, right? Where is our dependence on God for teaching us in that? If you think that God talks to you and you ever question if it's him or not, you have to ask yourself, where in the scripture is that taught? So many teachers make it about me instead of reading about people that were alive centuries ago. It makes me feel seen and heard and wanted. I feel good when I see myself as the hero, when I feel like God is talking to me personally through the scripture, when I feel like I'm getting personal revelations. He's just not like that. You're not David. You are a whomsoever. You're not Ruth. You are a sinner in need of a savior. We are the ones who were once his enemies, who were on our way to hell because of our sinful hearts. He teaches us who he is in his word. He teaches us how we are to live and who he wants us to be. We are the rebellious ones who turn to him. We are the people who were once idolatrous and now prostrate before him. We are the saints who strive to stay on the narrow path. We aren't the ones in the Bible. We are the ones the Bible's talking to. We are to be encouraged and strengthened through its words, emboldened, chastised, rebuked, and comforted. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and be able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." 2 Timothy 3:15-17. "And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." These sacred writings give us wisdom. It's all there to equip us. The word is a lamp to shine truth and expel the lies of darkness. It sanctifies us, cleansing our hearts and our minds. It strengthens us against the lies of Satan. It's our only defense. Stop worrying about how smart you are or how much other people know, and know that God gives wisdom to all if we ask. He can teach you. It does take effort on your part, though. We should be talking about scripture with those around us, willing to be wrong in order to be corrected, and to correct in order to help those who are wrong, us included. How much time do you spend reading books that you want to read? How much time do you spend relaxing or just doing what you want? You can spend that time studying the parts of scripture that you're trying to understand, the ones you have questions about. I find God building my foundation with stones. One cannot get put down before the other is properly laid. Our spiritual food is far more important than anything. It's more important than the food we eat and the air we breathe. We find time for the things we value. If you value God, you will find time to be in His Word, to study it and to know it, because through it, you know Him, and you know who He wants you to be and how you ought to live. Our quiet time should not be something to check off a checklist, a discipline to say, "Yep, I did it." We need to spend time digging in, not just memorizing, though that's good and valuable, but studying is huge. It's hugely important. We need to compare life and teachings to it, learning the great mysteries that He has allowed us to understand. There is a warning, though. It doesn't end. You'll never exhaust all you can know. You'll never be done learning. That's the beauty of learning about God. So many spend so much time seeking experience, seeking His voice, but don't spend the time to know it through the one way you can be sure it's Him. If you yearn to hear God's voice, then read your Bible. If you yearn to know the truth, study it diligently. Talk about it when you're walking and eating and spending time with your friends or family. Think about it while laying awake at night, while brushing your teeth and showering. We're to be heavenly minded, keeping our eyes on God in eternity. That's how we can live in this fallen world and not get bogged down by it, not lose faith or hope. He will teach you and guide you, but not if you refuse to make the time and not if you refuse to obey His word. I really hope that this was encouraging. I love you all, even the ones I don't know. God has made you in His image, and I pray that you see that clearer and clearer every day. Don't give up. Get in the word. He has amazing things for you to learn, but you need to get in and you need to learn it and you need to pray and just lean on Him. Thank you guys. God bless you.